So thanks again for being here tonight, and I'm going to move on to our first storyteller. Ben Schneider is actually on the board of the Chugach Mountain Bike Riders, and they are having a volunteer event this Saturday using our tool trailer to work on the great trails out at Mirror Lake. And we're in the process of working with the Chugach Mountain Bike Riders to write another RTP grant for phase two of the trails that they're going to build out there. So that's not really Ben's bio, though. That's me still talking over my 7 minutes. I apologize. Back to Ben. Ben Schneider began his job as a stay-at-home dad for two kids and seven dogs 6 years ago. There's a lot of math there. When he moved to Alaska and lived in a yurt, he now lives in a regular house and spends his time woodworking, dog mushing, skiing, rafting, fishing, biking, teaching, and tearing out his hair while trying to wrangle his two kids. Please welcome Ben Schneider.
So I'm a little exhausted this week because I've been teaching kindergarten since Monday. So this story I'm about to tell, I actually told a few years ago for Arctic Entries, but it was at the pack, and all the seats were filled except for one right in the front, which belonged to my wife. And from a gross miscommunication, I actually sent my wife here instead of to the pack. So I'm pretty excited because tonight, my wife, my story, and myself are all in the same spot, and so we're. I get a second go at this, so here we go. So I'd like to start with a confession. You see, about 10 years ago, I was on a college trip to Australia, and I killed a baby kangaroo with my bare hands. But really, this story starts a few years earlier than that, when I was out for a hike with my dog and my mom's 50 and over women's hiking group. Now, my dog's name was Cap, and Cap was this 90-pound all-white sheepdog, and he was a super athlete, and I could take him anywhere. But Cap had his problems, one of which was that he liked to kill things. Squirrels, birds, porcupines, and skunks. And as I would find out later, Cap also liked to kill really big things. Now, my mom's hiking group consisted of about 10 women, and these women could hike. They had their hiking poles and their cute hiking outfits. They were out there hiking, and they were really making it look good. So we're hiking out this trail, and we're going to this alpine lake, and we're on the side of a hill, and there's this gully that leads all the way to the bottom of the valley. And as we're hiking, all of a sudden we see this puff of dust and this thing streak down into the gully. And I know that Cap likes to chase things, and so I reach down to grab him, but he's already gone, chasing after whatever this thing was. And I sort of feebly call for him just to make a show for my mom's hiking group, but I know Cap's not going to come back. And so I start walking down the gully, and I tell the hiking group, I'll see you in a little bit and get my dog. And so I'm going down and calling, and I'm going down this gully, and I'm calling more and more and more, and my frustration and anger is just building because this is not the first time something like this has happened. And finally, I get to a point where I'm ready to just leave Cap there and let him answer the call of the wild and fend for himself, when all of a sudden, right beside some pine trees, his head pops up, and I see him. But my all-white dog is now covered in red and black blood and gore. And at first I think he's injured, and so I run over there, and I check him all over, but he's jumping around, and his tail's wagging, and he doesn't seem to be in any pain. And that's when I hear another rustling sound over by the trees, and I go over there, and there's this large domestic sheep laying on its side, and its throat is all torn up. And I look down at Cap, and Cap looks at me with his super happy, silly dog face, and I can tell he's totally excited and happy about what he's just done. And so I tie him up, because I don't want him to do any more damage than he's already done to the sheep. So I tie him to a tree, and I go down to see what I can do about this sheep. And when I get down there, I can tell that it's mortally wounded. It's not going to live. And I know that I can't just leave it there to die by itself. But I don't have a gun, and I don't have a knife, and I don't know how to go about breaking a sheep's neck. And so I look around for what else I have, and I find this basketball-sized rock. And I think to myself, how hard can it be, right? You take this rock, you smash the sheep's head, you break its skull, you kill it instantly. That easy, right? So I pick up the rock and I walk over to the sheep, and as I walk over there, the sheep looks up at me with these big, dumb eyes, and I can tell it's thinking to itself, thank God, a human, I'm saved. But that's when I take that rock and I crash it down on its head as hard as I can. And then I pick the rock up, and the sheep lifts its head up. And it baas, the most pitiful sound that you've ever heard. But at this point, it's worse off than when Cap got done with it, and so I'm committed. And so I take the rock, and I hit it again. And I hit it again, and again. And I'm going crazy now. My dog's barking like crazy, and I'm getting frustrated. And I just have to bash it over the head, over and over, until finally it's not moving and it's not breathing. I don't check for a pulse, but it's dead. I'm sure of it. And so I stand up on shaky legs and I drop the rock and I go back to Cap and I untie him from the tree and we start heading back up the gully. And we're going up and up and up, and I look at myself and I'm covered with blood from the top of my head down to my knees and all down my arms. And my dog is covered in blood. And we go up and up and back to my mother's 50 and over women's hiking group. And anything that you're thinking right now that their faces might have looked like is exactly how they looked. Jaws dropped, stunned silence. And I try to think of something funny to say to them. Like, yeah, but you see the other guy and his sheepdog. But I don't, and I just say, Cap took down a sheep, and I killed it, and we need to wash off. I'll see you at the lake. And so we go running up the trail to the lake, and I'm just thinking to myself, please don't let there be any other hikers on the trail, because what would you say to them? But thankfully, mercifully, there aren't any other hikers, and we make it to the lake, and I take Cap, and I just throw him into the lake, and I scrub him off, and I get myself all washed off, and after we're done, we're all clean, I sit in the sunshine with my dog and I throw my arm around him and I rough him up a bit. And I forgive him because he's just a dog. But I have a harder time forgiving myself. And I have a hard time convincing myself that what I did was the best possible thing to do, that the way I killed that sheep was better than just leaving it there by itself to die on its own. And I know one thing at that point. I never, ever want anything like this to ever happen to me again. And it never, ever has. Except this one time. You see, about 10 years ago, I was on a college trip to Australia. You might have forgotten about that kangaroo. But I was driving with some friends, and it was dark at night. And I'm at the wheel, and my friends are with me in the car. And all of a sudden, this baby kangaroo jumps in front of the car. And I screech the brakes, but I can't stop in time. And I hit it, and it flies through the air, and it bounces off the pavement. And it stumbles off to the side into a ditch. And we all get out of the car, and we go to see the damage that we've done. And when we look at it, we can tell that its hip's broken, and it's not going to live. We're all standing there wondering what to do. When all of a sudden I look to the side of the road and I see this basketball-sized rock laying on the side of the road. And so I pick it up and I walk over to my friends and I say, don't worry guys, I've got this. Thank you.